Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving over 800 Penn State student-athletes across 31 sports. And ironically, with Happy Valley United sponsoring us, we have as our guest, you know him, Executive Director Mike Villagrana. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be back. Feel like a regular now. We can finish our sentences now.
That's right. We've been together enough. We talk barbecuing. We talk tailgating. All the important things in life.
Oh, yeah. Baseball. Everything.
We have. Today, we even talked about Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
A fun town, speaking of barbecue. But anyway, you know what? Believe it or not, our listeners are not here to hear us talk about barbecue. I know. Actually, several of them would probably enjoy it. But I'm really enjoying this partnership that we are now having at Keystone Sports with Happy Valley United. It gives us an opportunity to talk to you. By the way, we're inside the Lash building in your office.
Oh, yeah.
Here, which is just very cool place. I'm going to ask you for a tour when we get done here.
Absolutely.
But the great thing about this, Mike, is we get to talk, insider talk, about what's going on within the program. And one of my favorite topics, most important thing, it's year-round. It's recruiting.
Oh, yeah. It never stops.
It's year-round, and we're coming up with, this is the 26th class now, the class of 26 that is coming in. And it's been an exciting couple weeks. I'm particularly excited about a young quarterback by the name of Peyton Falzone. I think it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since his commitment.
Yeah, something like that.
And it's really a fascinating story about him. He's a guy who's athletic enough. He could have been recruited as, say, a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a tight end. He has become a quarterback, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And it was funny. He was actually committed to Virginia Tech. Which happens to be the school that I was at previously, and we recruited him as a quarterback, and he camped for us, and you know he did a really good job, so we ended up offering him, and then he committed pretty early, and then you know, now we're here today, now he's committed to Penn State.
So what you're
saying, which I had nothing to do with.
I was going to say, come on, he just followed you here, right?
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that.
Well, tell us a little more about him. This is a pretty big guy. This is not your standard off-the-shelf quarterback. The fact that he could have been recruited as, say, a tight end tells you about his physical stature. He's a pretty big guy, right?
Yeah, he's a real big guy. He's going to fill out, too. He's long. Those kind of guys, you know, that are at a certain position but have position flex and are able to – you know, maybe grow into something else one day, there's value there to that. But, you know, he's been developed by a guy that we trust, and he's doing a really good job developing and with his mechanics and his skill set at the quarterback position. So I think the staff and everybody is really excited about him.
Well, you mentioned his development, and we'll get to that. You're referencing Brad Mendler, who was also the personal quarterback coach for Ethan Grunkmeyer and Drew Aller.
Yeah, he's been awesome for us. And obviously, you know, the past couple quarterbacks that we've gotten, and they're all, you know, good in their own way, bring a lot of value. He's done a really good job developing them. So, you know, it's nice to have a guy like that in your corner that you can rely on and trust when he gives us opinions on different players and whatnot, or, you know, that he's working with a player that we're recruiting.
Well, he's got a track record. Mm-hmm. Drew Aller, Ethan Grunkmeyer, not a bad track record. Back to Peyton Falzone, you were mentioning about, you know, someone who's that athletic and actually gives position flexibility. He can play other positions. Isn't that also a little bit the development of the quarterback position? It's changing now, not just in college, but also in the NFL. And it's not like the old stereotype. In college, if you call the quarterback athletic, that meant he probably couldn't play quarterback in the pros. But it's now, like we talked earlier, Lamar Jackson as an example. These guys now, Jalen Hurts, these are guys who do more than just sit in the pocket, Tom Brady it. they're able to help you with their legs also.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. You got Milrow, that's probably going to get drafted tonight. So, yeah, it's a really good, you know, skill set that he has. But we'll see. You know, time will tell and it will play out and see how he develops. But, you know, nowadays, like, it depends what scheme you go into as well. You know, I think with Coach Koltunicki's offense, like, it's you can do a lot of different things, which is fun to watch, right?
Yeah.
So having a player like that, you know, and maybe do some multiple things with them just makes you that much more dynamic. So, yeah, really excited, but we'll see how it all turns out. Really excited about his development, and, you know, we have two good quarterbacks right now. So we're in a really good position.
Gee, a guy who's capable of playing tight end, also playing at quarterback. Where have I seen that before, Mike?
Yeah, right.
Well, anyway, you made reference to Brad Mendler, who's the personal quarterback coach, and he worked with Drew Aller and Ethan Grunkmeyer. And I think what's fascinating, both with him and the quarterback history at Penn State seems to be in on these quarterbacks early. We were talking again earlier, you and I off the air. You were here previously at Penn State when Justin Fields actually initially committed to Penn State. I'm not sure how many of our younger fans realize that. But what happened back then, and it seems to be happening now, is Penn State gets in on these guys early before the recruiting blows up.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, I think that's credit to Coach Franklin and the expectation he puts on the program and recruitment. The staff that him and Andy Frank have built out from a personnel standpoint with Kenny Sanders and AZ, Slim, LB, Brett, all those guys. They do a fantastic job evaluating early, not just the quarterback position, but when we were recruiting Justin Fields at that time, Joe Moorhead was offense coordinator, and he was kind of standing up on the table for the kid. I think it was just – and really kind of it was us, and only really Tennessee was kind of in it a little bit. And he had some other offers, but he wasn't the full-blown five-star national recruit that he ended up being at the end of his recruitment. So we were able to, you know, do what we do at Penn State is establish good relationships, get to know the families, you know, just – check all the boxes with the kid, and vice versa. They're checking all the boxes with us. And so he committed to us. And I think at that point when he committed to us, I remember Coach Franklin saying, you know, we're about to have the number one class at that point. And we did. And then it didn't work out with Justin, but, you know, that class, I think we finished sixth in the country nationally. And it was a heck of a class. But what really separates Penn State and what they do a really good job at is evaluating early, like you mentioned. You know, you're recruiting and looking at film as freshmen, you know, and it's hard to project with a kid that is 16, 15 years old what he's going to be when he's the senior and he's 18 years old, right? But we do a really good job evaluating the film and then getting them here on campus to see them in person, meet them, get to know the families, and then get them to camp. And then we try to get them here on campus to camp as many times as possible to, you know, for that evaluation on them. And I think that's one part of it. The second part of it that a lot of programs, in my opinion, screw themselves on is they don't want to pull the trigger necessarily on a younger kid in the earlier in the process because he doesn't have stars or he doesn't have all the notoriety that some of the, you know, the five stars do at that point. But we trust our process, the evaluation process, and our decision. And then more likely than not, these kids end up four or five stars by the end of their recruitment. And that's just a credit to the staff, Coach Franklin, and the personnel department.
Well, it is a fascinating topic because I think James has actually said a few years ago some of the things that you look at. You know, how tall is he? How long are his arms? How big are his hands?
Yes.
Because those are some indicators of where they're going to be physically. Because you mentioned, you know, Payne Falzone being able to fill out. I just looked up his numbers. He's 6'5", 205. I imagine in a couple of years he'll be more Drew Aller-ish, which is more like 6'5", 240.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at all of our recruits really and kind of kind of guess what they're going to look like, you know, in a couple of years after, you know, they go through Chuck Losey's, strength and conditioning program, as well as the nutrition program, as well as everything else and all the resources that we provide them. You know, they're going to max out, probably not max out, but they're going to fill their potential from a physicality standpoint and based on the frame. But when we recruit them early, we look at those frames, you know, we look at their hips, their length, you know, what can they potentially be? That's a big piece of it. And what's pretty cool is when I was like here the first time from 15 to 17 and learning the ropes of how Coach Franklin and Andy and the staff evaluate, you know, those are huge. Those are really important. The length, hand size, weight, flexibility, all those indicators when you're recruiting them are really important to the staff. And it hasn't changed now that I'm back. It's the same stuff. And what was really neat, what was really cool is, you know, Coach Franken would always press, when my first time here, would always press that we need to get longer and bigger, right, to compete, you know, where we want to get. We had really good players at the time, don't get me wrong, but collectively, you know, we didn't look like some of like the Alabamas at that time. Now me coming back, everybody's big and long. The corners are long and big. The linemen, both sides of the ball, big, long. It's fascinating. It's pretty cool to see because Coach Franklin and his consistency, sticking to that plan and trusting the process, and you can see that it's worked, and it's pretty cool.
Well, we did an event that had the incoming freshmen at the bowling alley, if you remember.
Yeah.
And these were the kids who graduated high school early. So these are kids who should still be seniors in high school.
Yeah.
They walked in. I thought it was a basketball team. Okay. They were just so tall. And they were introducing themselves. Here, you know, here's my hometown. Here's the position I play. And this long, lean, he must have been 6'5", 6'6", gets up, introduces himself, and says he's a tackle.
Yeah, Alessini. So, yeah, that's a part of the, you know, the evolution of the recruitment process right now, especially when it comes to big guys, O-line and D-line. You don't – when I was running the recruiting department at Mississippi State, I would always say, guys, to the interns and everybody evolving, said, when it comes to the big guys, we want power forwards. We want power forward looking guys, you know, big tight ends that maybe necessarily can't run well. Those are the type of body types that we want. And you see those guys like Alex Haney, he's going to be a huge kid. You know, it's going to take a little bit more time to develop, but that's the process that we got to trust, right? You know, because we're not a portal, you know, team. We're a developmental.
Exactly. All right. That is it for the end of quarter one. Lots more to talk about with Mike Villagrana right after this.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving over 800 Penn State student-athletes across 31 sports. My guest today from Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director. And Mike, when we finished up quarter one, we were just talking about the technique and recruiting size, or probably more specifically, length. And a year, I was talking about the incoming freshmen, and we had an event, and it looked like a basketball team. The year prior, we did the similar event, and I remember meeting Luke Reynolds, and just shaking his hand. I tried to shake his hand. He shook my arm.
Yeah.
Because his hands were that big. And you could just see this is a frame that's going to fill out. Well, it didn't take long. And I think the other story from a couple years ago was Tony Rojas. When he came in, he was considered an undersized linebacker out of high school. By the time the spring game happened, 3 months later, I think he had already put on 30 good pounds. which is a testament to Chuck Lozy.
Yeah, and the recruitment and seeing that potential in his body, in his frame, I think is really key in the recruitment process. But I remember being at Virginia Tech, we were recruiting him because Coach Pryor was recruiting him previously. And then it got back to us like, man, he's killing it right now at Penn State, and he's gained all this weight, and he's exactly what we thought he was going to be coming out of high school. Because, I mean, he was killing that running back. Yeah, his high school tape was some of the best that I've seen in a while. But, yeah.
I know we're kind of getting off track, but it's fascinating to me that you were at Virginia Tech with Brent Pry. What must that be like, you know, recruiting the DMV area, knowing Penn State is coming in? Knowing like you and Brent Pry and probably a couple other guys from Penn State coming in, what's that like recruiting against the old team?
Yeah, it was different. It's a different dynamic, that's for sure. But we Coach Pry would always joke about it too, talking to recruits, especially the same area that we're recruiting, the DMV region. When Pry was here, you know, helped, you know, establish those roots and those claws that we put in those regions. And now he's fighting against that, which is tough. And anytime I saw, you know, a certain kid that I knew was like, okay, that's a Penn State kid, I was like, oh, we're going to struggle with that one. For instance, I remember meeting Peter and his family and on a Virginia Tech visit. I'm like, oh, this kid's awesome. This family's awesome. He is going to be probably at Penn State because he fits Penn State and kind of his character's mold, everything like that. So I was like, it's funny. Like it's funny, being there with Coach Pry and trying to fight back what we, did.
We helped establish.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have no one to blame but yourself.
Yeah, that's right. But I think the staffs have grown as well. And Coach Pry or Coach Franklin does a great job staffing people that make sense in key areas, recruiting areas that help. You know, it's just not a position coach or a coordinator. A lot of these guys on the personnel side of things, they're the lead recruiters. You know, a big reason why we got a lot of guys in the past here is because AZ, Kenny Sanders, LB, you know, Brett Arnold, those guys, Slim, those guys are taking the lead. And Coach Franklin talks about that, you know, Terry Smith talks about it too, to the staff. You know, nobody is just one recruiter. You know, we're all in this together. It's a team thing when it comes to recruitment.
So, by the way, when you were talking about Peter, you were talking about what Peter?
Peter Gonzalez?
Gonzalez. Okay, yeah. That's who I thought you were talking about. Just want to make sure our listeners know. He's the wide receiver. He's battled some injuries. How's he doing?
Oh, he's doing great. You know, he came back. His first day back in winter workouts, full go. He didn't have any limitations. I don't think he maybe had a couple limitations, but he killed it. Absolutely killed it. And I think he got the wide receiver worker of the day. You guys probably saw on social media. Yeah. So I was proud of it. I was proud of him because I just, you know, I had that history. You know, we briefly were recruiting him at Virginia Tech. So I was happy for him.
So I'll tell you what, now I've got you here locked in, you're tied in. I can now ask you some questions that I didn't warn you ahead of time I would ask. You mentioned like Peter Gonzalez. Can you give us a couple of other names of guys who just young guys, names that people, not the top of the list, but on the roster, but a couple of guys who just seem to take that extra step, maybe seem to now it clicked for them in the spring?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm coming in at it, you know, because I, like I told you, you know, I got here in late January full time. So I had to play catch up getting to know the roster and getting to know these guys. But, you know, I think a lot of the young receivers, they impressed me big time. You know, Kobe Howard was a guy that was impressive. And I think he's another guy that they recruited and he wasn't like a big recruit.
Right. Yeah. He was not.
You know what I mean? And now he comes in and he looks the part. You know, Ty Sayre's doing well. Samuel could be a, you know, freak one day. Those guys are doing well. Xavier Gilliam was killing it this spring. I think he probably had one of the more impressive springs.
It's always fun to hear those names. You know, Penn State fans, anything they hear about wide receivers, half of them are saying, oh, that's great because we need it. The other half will be saying, show me. I need to see it before I believe it. But the wide receiver position itself, it kind of, it reminds me of a couple years ago where we were with the offensive line. You know, it's like every year, it just, it takes a while to develop it.
Yeah.
And Coach Troutwine, you know, it didn't happen in year one or year two, but once it gets here, but it's like, it's a development thing from the bottom up, right?
Yeah. Especially at that position, because you're not going to get your return on that investment day one. You know, like some of these skill positions, maybe that you can plug them in and they're just that athletic and they can go up and jump and get the ball, whatever, right? Whatever it is. But the big guys, they take time, especially offensive linemen. And you got to stick to that process of recruiting those guys and developing them and making sure that they do develop. Because then if they don't develop, and then you're going to have big holes in your roster, then you're going to have to go to the portal, and then you're just going to be up and down in that room, right? But Coach Trout, Coach Franklin, and the staff have done an unbelievable job. Best job I've seen from an offensive line standpoint and depth. Like, there's so many good players there, and you know, a couple other guys that are younger that are developing, and you see they're putting on that weight, and they're starting to fill out what we thought they would look like.
Well, it seems like the position I always point to is tight end. I say at Penn State now, at tight end, Penn State has a history, they have a present, they have a future. You know, you see it like that. It now feels that way with the offensive line. The veterans are going to – there's multiple NFL players on that offensive line.
Yep.
And we did a show last week, Andy and I, where we had a listener sends in a question and says, how many got next year's draft? Will Penn State set its record for number of guys being drafted?
Yeah.
And we started to look at it, and we started to look at offensive line and said, yep, he could be. Yep, he could be. Yep, he could be. And it was funny when Andy named like three guys, I think, and I said, I think you forgot Vega Ioane.
Yeah.
Who just
And he's had a great offseason too.
I'm not sure how much influence you have on Andy Kotelnicki, but this putting Vega in motion and crushing someone.
It's awesome.
Tell him never to give that up. I swear, Mike, it's like there's a murmur in the crowd when you see him going in motion. I mean, people now appreciate it, know what's happening, and react to it. It's got to be one of the most entertaining things.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, I put myself in those guys' shoes on the other side of the ball. If I'm a defensive end or I'm an overhang that is, you know, 200 soaking wet, I don't want that big guy coming at me. You're going to have to make a business decision. So that's what I think about when you see that big guy coming. He's athletic. Good kid. Great kid, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, and this was – hate to bring up the sore subject, but the Ohio State game, the, you know, inside the 10-yard line,
yep,
and then things that work out. And there was a play where he was out like a wide receiver, and no one went out to pick him up. When are we going to throw the ball to him?
I don't know. That's above my pay. I don't know. But hopefully we do see that, because that'd be pretty cool to see that, seeing the big guy catch a ball.
It would be awesome. All right. Let me circle back to what was on my agenda to talk about, which is the quarterbacks. And again, you and I were talking about this off the air. It's such a unique position. And we were also talking about the NFL draft. And I use the expression that the quarterback, it's the face of the franchise. But in college, Penn State has been very unique in never bringing in a portal quarterback. Now, and James, I think he was asked that, and I think he essentially said, never say never.
Yeah.
But how is it, you look around the country, pretty much everybody has brought in a portal quarterback except for Penn State. How does that happen?
Yeah, I would credit Coach Franklin and the culture and the evaluation process and the ability to retain and develop. I credit him on that, because that's how you get to that point, right? You get these players, you develop them, you get them to buy into the culture that he's established here, the expectations. It's more about, you know, the team, not just the person, which is hard, especially at that position. But you know, he's done a really good job developing these guys and having them buy in. And, you know, Danny does a really good job with them as well. So, yeah, we've been lucky at that position. But, you know, that's not going to be, you know, every single year. There's going to be times where, you know, a guy has a better opportunity maybe somewhere else. It's just the nature of it right now. And say they leave and there's a hole that we got to fill, then we'll attack that position in the portal, just like any other position, if there's a hole.
Well, it's interesting. The guys who have exited, even, you know, the most recent example was Bo Probola. Prior to that, Christian Vaillou.
Yeah.
But it was both of them, I would say, I'm going to call it stayed the extra year.
Yeah.
You know, stayed one more year than maybe business-wise would have been in their best interest. Because Bo was here for multiple years, pretty much knowing he would back up Drew Aller. So I thought this was a business and a good business decision for Bo.
Yeah. I mean, in those first 3 years, I mean, he developed. You know, he's not just sitting, you know, in the corner of a room and twiddling his thumbs. I mean, every person is getting attention like they're quarterback one for this team, you know, and they're developing. And that's throughout the whole program. So he's getting developed, you know, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, top to bottom.
And that noise indicates the end of our segment. We got lots more to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving over 800 student-athletes across 31 sports. My guest, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, first of all, just in reading the intro, there's 800 student-athletes in 31 sports. That's a lot to support.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And, well, that helps me segue into a new topic that the world is changing, and I think most of our listeners have heard about the house settlement that is going on, which is essentially a legal agreement that they're working on. Hopefully it will get finalized and that it will actually allow the university to directly compensate student athletes. And I bring that up after the talking about Happy Valley United supporting 31 sports. There's a formula that they calculated. It comes out to like about $20 or $21 million that the universities will be able to compensate the student athletes. It doesn't take into consideration the number of sports and number of student athletes you have, does it? So there are schools out there, specifically like in the Southeast Conference, they may only have 17 sports as opposed to 31.
Yeah, I think the biggest beneficiaries of this is the basketball teams
that Big don't East.
Yeah, the Big East. That's huge for them. Huge. Like I can't imagine, because I mean you're obviously dealing with little smaller numbers, right? So now you can allocate more of that money to, you know, two or three big time players maybe that can make a bit of difference in your program.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's a fascinating part to this. And some of those programs that have legitimate national reputations, you know, St. John's and Villanova. Georgetown.
That's right.
And as an example of this, I don't know if you saw this, Rutgers, they had two freshmen this past year who are probably going to be two of the first three players drafted in the NBA.
Yeah, I was just talking about them the other day because I went to that game when they played here. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy that they had two lottery picks on their team.
You'd think they would have played better than they But that's a whole nother
discussion. Yeah, I know.
But it's an example within basketball for listeners to understand. I think most schools are going to divvy up the funds where football, biggest revenue maker, it's probably going to be 70% or so. At least 70% of the funds would go to football and maybe 15% or 20% to basketball, and the rest would go to the rest of the sports. But if you don't have football, I imagine some – you met St. John's in New York school with Rick Pitino as their coach, if they choose to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're in a really good position. That's what I said. They're making it out really well from this house rev.
It's going to be fascinating to see. But let's get back to football, though, and how this house settlement will affect – We're hearing more and more about contracts with players. Now, I assume those contracts over the last couple of years have been, say, with the collectives. But going forward, that's going to have to be a different kind of contract now, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, the schools will be able to pay them. So the schools will be able to write up the contracts for them as well. But the collectives will still have, you know, their deliverables and everything like that for the players to make additional money.
So Happy Valley United is not going to be going away. In fact, in many ways, the collective, like Happy Valley United here at Penn State, that could actually be the differentiator for a lot of these players.
Yeah, and that's our message, you know, to everybody, you know, that's supporting us and our fans of Penn State athletics in general, that, you know, we can be a differentiator, you know, if we can, you know, operate and continue to go down the lane that we're going down right now, as far as, you know, trying to get memberships. If you want to help and make us different, join Happy Valley United and become a member. You know, there's multiple tiers that you can do, like a $10 digital package all the way up to $250 package. And what we're doing now differently is we're providing the members with something, and that is content, you know, exclusive recruiting news. You know, we're not all the way there to the finish line on what we want it to look like, but, you know, we're starting to pepper out a couple things for the members to see, that, you know, what this is what they get to look forward to if they become a member here in the future. And especially with our partnership with State Media and Christian Hackenberg, that's going to be a great partnership, especially as we continue to build sponsorships and podcasts and things of that nature. It's going to be great for the fans to become members, which goes back into the overall bucket for Penn State to pay their players.
Well, if you go back and look at Pro Day, and all of a sudden the access, because of the collective, because of Happy Valley United, go find the interviews, there's some fantastic stuff. And there was access to literally everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Coach Franklin and Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter, yeah, on and on and on,
yeah,
which is tremendous access.
And that's the goal. So that day was really one day of a ton of interviews, like you mentioned, you know, State Media, and we're still posting interviews from that day. Because we had so much good content, and that's what we want to provide. You know, we want them to hear BJ and to talk about, you know, the naming rights of the field. We want Will Hoover to talk about, you know, the donor side of things as well. You know, we want to hear the coaches. We want to hear Andy Frank, the GM, talk about how that position's evolved. Elby, talk about, you know, his evolution in this program and how he's helped and how he's dealing with agents and whatnot now. And talk to Dan Cabala, who's been here from day one in the NIL space, and how that's evolved to where we're at right now. Like, you hear these people, that it's awesome information. It gives fans a better idea of how Penn State's navigating it. And hopefully when they hear all these people, they're like, man, they got a really good program going on there.
Well, our relationship with you has helped me get a little bit of that peek behind the curtain. And it's interesting to see. It's fascinating to see. But people want to see results. And I think this is the first year it is so tangible. Nobody expected Drew Aller to come back. And Nick Singleton. And Deni Dennis-Sutton. And Katron Allen. And I think many of those players, they're coming back for the right reasons. If it was all just about money them, they could probably, I shouldn't say that, they could have gone somewhere else and made more money.
Yeah.
But by coming back, though, there's something good going on here, and they're getting paid.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, that couldn't happen. And the other example that I always think is a great one is, how much money did Tyler Warren make? He could have gone to the NFL last year. And I think any NFL scout worth his salt would have known that he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know he was this good.
Yeah.
And a top half of the first round draft pick. So it works. It's a plan that could work for everybody, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Coach Franklin's message to the parents and the recruits when you talk about NIL, you know, it's not about NIL, and he tells them that up front. You know, we are in a great position that we're going to be able to provide that for them, but it's not all about that, right? It's about developing them. You know, it's about graduating and becoming a well-rounded Penn State football player. And what he did for himself was he came back. We were able to, you know, help him with through NIL. And because of that, he was able to increase his draft stock. And then he was just drafted in the first round.
So that's the success story. That's the way it works. And you mentioned that Coach Franklin says, hey, it's not just about NIL, which I think is really important. Again, you and I were talking about this, that the history is Joe Paterno always talked about recruiting the whole family, recruiting mom.
Oh, yeah.
And again, you and I were talking off the air, and so much of the conversation was about the families of the players.
Oh, it's huge.
And that's a big part of
the recruiting part. Yeah, I think it's more important now than it's ever been, because when these players come in and they are getting paid more money than they've ever had before in their life, and maybe they're not playing or they get, you know, upset about something, well, they have to have a good support system that's going to give them good advice and not just a transactional, you know, knee-jerk decision. So that's important when, you know, we're talking to recruits and we're getting to know them and their families, that, you know, that it's just not going to be transactional for them. You know, this is going to be transformational for them. And I think that line that I heard when I heard for the first time just really stuck with me, because it's so true. You know, you want this experience, especially at a university like this, to be transformational. You know, I've been at a couple of different places since my first time being here. And there's no place outside of this building that's like Penn State to me. It's just different to me. It's hard to explain, but then you go inside the building and Coach Franklin, our CEO, there's nobody like him. He's insane. He's a maniac. And like for him to be so consistent with everything he does day to day and how he juggles recruiting staff, our current players, the donors, the administration, it's incredible to me. And I feel really lucky. And I think Penn State fans should be really lucky, feel lucky that, you know, we have him leading the charge on this thing.
I think the ones who understand just how much is involved, this, you use the expression CEO. And I think sometimes there are folks within the media who use that as a negative. You know, it's like a left-handed compliment, like, it's not about the football. Obviously, it is. I mean, he knows the X's and O's, knows what he wants. But it's just all these additional responsibilities. And I want to throw a theory out to you. I know we only have a minute left in this segment, but I feel like there's a culture to each football program in the country. You know, Oregon is very different than Alabama, is very different than Clemson, is very different than Ohio State, is very different about Penn State. And I think it is a culture thing that James Franklin has created. When he says it's about family, it truly is about family.
Oh, yeah, he means it. He means it 100%. He is. It's fascinating how he stays connected to people that he's worked for or that worked for him when they move on. For instance, me, you know, every time that I jumped to somewhere, or you know, somebody got let go or something, he's calling. He calls me. He's the first person that calls me.
Wow!
It's incredible.
I'm sorry, but I have my cell phone right here. Obviously, where's that button? I gotta get rid of that. So anyway, I'm doing that. The timing, I guess, is good as we're coming to the end of this segment. We've got one more segment to go with Mike Villagrano, Executive Director of Happy Valley United.
Keystone Sports Network.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. Our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving over 800 Penn State student-athletes across 31 sports. Our guest is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director. It's a big title. You're like the Grand Poobah.
No, Executive Director of Football. So I'm the contact for football.
All right. Well, let's keep talking football. Before we were interrupted at the end of the third quarter with my phone ringing, my apologies for that. We were talking about the culture here at Penn State, and it just really feels like a unique culture here. And I always tell the story. I met James Franklin in a kind of a social environment. I'm not part of the media, just got to meet him for the first time. And I instantly realized why he was a good recruiter.
Oh, yeah.
You're just immediately drawn to the guy.
Yeah. And he's relentless, too. And he makes sure that that's the expectation, you know, like be relentless. Be aggressive in everything that you do, really.
Well, let's talk, though, about the recruiting in general across college football. We were talking also about the House settlement that's coming up, which means the universities are going to be able to pay players directly. Maybe you could help us understand a little bit how are those contracts going to work? Because there was a little bit of the controversy. I think it was a Wisconsin player. Broke his contract. How are these contracts are going to work? Are they going to be multi-year contracts? What are they going to have in them?
You know, I don't think you can answer that right now, just because it's changing every day, because you're getting these instances that you see like at Wisconsin, happening. So then you're going to get back, then they're going to get back, everybody's going to get backlash, and all right, hey, we need to fix this, fix that. All right, well, the portal windows obviously have an effect on the contracts. So I mean, I think, you know, having language in the contracts is going to be really important, that it protects the university and the program as well as the kid. But that's, you know, right now the players have all the leverage, you know, right now with all that. And you know, it's good right now, but we just need guardrails on this to make this more of an efficient process, so we're not changing these contracts every single year because, you know, another instance pops up that, you know, there was a loophole in the process. Well, that's going to continue to have us take steps back and not move forward. So to answer your question, I know I didn't answer your question, Jim, but that's kind of where we're at with it right now. You know, it's day to day. That's how we're handling it.
Well, it's such a moving target, as you said, because rules are changing. You know, the House settlement, which I thought it was going to be settled a couple weeks ago.
And you got to deal. You have to deal with the agents too, which is. I don't think a lot of people understand that process unless you're in it. It is a huge task, and it's one of the most important tasks that you can have is dealing with these agents to be able to articulate to them, you know, what we want to do, the negotiation part of it, you know, hold our ground and not, you know, pay too much from what an agent, you know, some agents may be fishing out there for more money. So we have to just be on point when it comes to that. And we have a really good team here that takes care of that stuff.
Well, I hope that there are some lessons learned. Niko Iamaleava, I only pronounce his name once per show because that's...
Yeah. Yeah, just call him Niko.
Yes. Well, I give the full name first, and then it's Niko the rest of the way. And here's a guy who overplayed his hand. You talked about, you know, the players do have all this leverage, but this is also a case where his father was involved, and I'm not sure anyone knows the full, all the details of it. But you ended up in a situation here where it appeared they were going all out. Money was the top issue, perhaps the only issue. And in the end, they probably got burned a bit. They're at UCLA making less than what he was making at Tennessee. But again, going back to this whole quarterback position, there already had been a transfer portal quarterback going to UCLA.
Yeah.
Who now, Joey Aguilar is his name. He ends up replacing Niko in Tennessee, which I think it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. You know, and to what we talked about, you know, the evaluation process and the recruiting process here, you know, a lot of it goes back to recruiting guys that NIL is not the reason why they're coming here. Like I said, we're in a great position to provide that to them, but it's not the sole reason. And we vet that, you know, through the recruiting process. So, you know, if there's a father, you know, or an agent or, you know, a friend that's just solely going to be worried about that, then maybe it's just not the right fit in the partnership.
Well, the other part to this whole thing, you had mentioned it, like there's also the portal obviously related to NIL, and James had just talked about this. There's two windows for the portal in the winter and here in the spring. And that's as close as you probably get to any guide rails. And I know James is an advocate for just one portal window a year. But if you do just one, does it make more sense to do it in the winter right after football season? Or does it make sense to do it in the spring after the academic year and maybe after for a player to see, okay, we had spring practice. I know where I stand going into next year. Maybe it's time for me to look at other opportunities.
Yeah, that's a good point. You could probably argue for both, in my opinion. Like, you could probably justify both, you know, having a December one versus a spring one or vice versa. But I just think, two portal windows just doesn't make sense for us right now.
Well, it's tough with the timing. We found out here at Penn State, with the Bo Pribula situation, middle of the playoffs, and you can't blame him for making the move when he did.
No, you're just going to have, like you brought up the Wisconsin thing, there's just going to be things that just pop up that are, because everything's happening so fast, there's going to be holes in this process, and there's just going to continue to be other holes that pop up if there's not any kind of guardrails that are put up. But another thing that we have to deal with, too, is you know, if a kid is a graduate transfer, he that window doesn't apply to him. He can transfer whenever he wants. So that's a good bucket of people, because guys are graduating in 3 years now. So there's a lot of guys that are in that position.
Well, I think it then behooves teams to have a strategy, you know, with the portal and NIL. And the idea here at Penn State seems to be, and the word is used, it's about retention more than it is. So every year we see there was a handful of players now who have left here in the spring, and I imagine there's a couple that would have been nice if they stayed.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like there were the players like the Niko situation where it's a star player looking to just make, you know, where's the highest bidder?
Yeah, because it starts with the recruiting process, and then when they get here, they're wired through the culture that's established here that they're not thinking like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, again, credit to the culture here, and not just that, but like I said, I've been in a bunch of places, this place has everything. It has everything that you want. You know what I mean? You have all your seasons, of course. You know what I mean?
Yes, you do.
But, I mean, you're going to get snow. You're going to get all that. But, like, there's not a lot you can knock on this university. Compared to the places I've been, this place is unbelievable, especially with the new renovation since I had left. They had just finished the renovations, the three-phase renovation of Lash, and now this place is like the Taj Mahal places that I've seen.
Well, just walking through to get to your office, and like I said, I'm going to remind you again, we're going to get a tour after we're done with the interview, but yeah, it's a cool facility, very interesting. And it's funny you mentioned the Four Seasons of Pennsylvania. Yes, you're definitely going to get them, but we had about as cold a December day as possible for that playoff game.
Oh, man.
The place and the students were off, you know, on break. The place was packed. It was a great crowd.
Oh, yeah. There was not a place like this that I've been. Honestly, like I've been in the SEC, like I mentioned, been to all those big games, LSU night game, been there, Auburn night game, Tennessee. There's nothing that compares to this place when you walk through. I think Coach mentions it to recruits all the time. Every time that he runs out on the field, he gets chills. You know, it's just a special place.
Yeah. Well, the whole, you know, the whiteout history, I mean, for any fan who comes in from out of town, it's like a bucket list kind of thing to attend a whiteout here. And I don't know, first time here, even when it's Penn State, Ohio State, late sack to put it away.
Yeah.
The stadium was moving. Literally swaying. Yeah. It was getting scary.
Yeah, I remember the Michigan whiteout of Saquon's last year. That was insane. That was a night one. It felt like you were moving. And then obviously that Ohio State game in 2016. When Grant Haley took a block kick by Marcus back, that was one of the craziest times here. And I'm so lucky to be a part of that. It was awesome. You know, we have a bunch of recruits, and you know, we're in charge of them, and so everybody runs on the field. We're like, oh crap!
I know you got to corral them.
Yeah, there was no corralling anybody, especially when you were out there, because it got scary at one point because you couldn't really move. You know, but yeah.
Well, that's again, it's how special it is. And I had the opportunity just one time to be down on the field during a game. And the noise, that's what I took away from it as unique. It's this feeling of being surrounded by noise. It's like having, you know, the ears, headphones on, because the sound just surrounds you.
Yeah, it's like being at like Martinsville and at the NASCAR race. You're not going to be able to. Your ears are going to be buzzing for the next 2 days.
Yeah, it's pretty special, and I could just imagine for a player, you know, that first time running out onto the field. It always reminds me, and I can't recall what player said it. It was like his advice to an upperclassman, his advice to the freshman: don't look up at the crowd because you'll end up tripping. Watch your feet.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, yes, you don't want to be that guy. But anyway, that is about it for our show. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We will definitely be doing this again. And thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Keystone Sports Network.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.